Hello and welcome along to another tipping edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We gave Paddy and Ruby the weekend off because there is so much happening. We thought the big race of the week in the US was down Pennsylvania Avenue for the White House, but in fact, the big racing of the weekend in the US is taking place at Keeneland. It is, of course, Breeders' Cup weekend, and we decided to beef up our panel of talent. I'm delighted to be joined by international racing trader, Mr. Sean O'Sullivan.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You've got all the schnacks in, ready for a busy weekend of trading, have you?
Yeah, absolutely. East Coast, so it's not too bad. We'll finish at a reasonable hour, so at 10 o'clock we'll have us done both nights.
Lovely stuff. And as ever, we're delighted to be joined by TVG's very own Mr. Mike Joyce. We decided to get in a little bit of local knowledge, Mike, and local. I know you're not necessarily a Kentuckian, but you're the best we could get. How are things with you? Are you well?
We're good. And, you know, the good news about the Breeders' Cup as opposed to the race for the president, we actually have a stopping point. It's called the finish line. And when the horses get there, it's all over. That's just like random people yelling out that they won.
Well, that's all very contentious, but I suppose the Breeders' Cup could actually be finished before we have a presidential announcement. But
oh yeah, these races will be all over far before those ones. The lawyers will get involved next week, and we'll be going until Christmas.
That'd be a good crack, isn't it? A nice little new angle on horse racing. Owners can just claim the win, yeah. The moral win, and I know enough punters who do that anyway. But without further ado, we're going to get stuck in because we have a lot of action to go through, and we're going to take a look at Friday night's action in Keeneland. The first race we're going to look at is 8:10, our side of the pond. It is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Sean, we'll start with you. I suppose it maybe hasn't been a vintage year for two-year-olds from Ballydoyle, but Battleground very much flying the flag, and he tops the betting at 5-1 for Aidan O'Brien, 11-2 new mandate for Rafe Beckett, who's been so impressive for the new sire sensation, New Bay Cadillac. For Jesse Harrington is 11-2 next in. Mustabek is the best of the US challenge at 6s, and it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. How do you see this market?
Yeah, this is an absolutely wide open affair. As you said, Battleground just about ahead of the market at the moment. This one's 3-3 for Aidan. He's currently favourite for the 2000 Guineas, the first classic of next year. He is off a bit of a layoff, though. We haven't seen him in 3 months, and the form of his win at Goodwood and indeed at Ascot and the Chesham is now just starting to fall apart under scrutiny, to be honest. Cadillac was a good winner at Leopardstown 2 starts ago, probably got stuck in the mud at Newmarket last time out. A new mandate as well was a good winner of a group race at Newmarket the last time. Frankie and Tory on board. I think he'd probably be the best of the Euros now, new mandate from stall 2.
Lovely stuff. Mike, what do you think of this one? Do you see any of the US juveniles giving some of the Euros a fright?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's a little bit backwards because the US horses are always very fast, but I think that the Euros actually have a better chance in the juvenile turf sprint than in the juvenile turf. Of the Euros, I do like Sealyway, the French horse, off of that win in Longchamp. I think that was a brilliant run that day. He ran exceptionally fast. And I of all the European invaders, he's the one I would fear the most for the U.S. contingent. I'm going to tell you what, there's two horses that you're going to have your hands full with from the U.S. Todd Pletcher's Mustabek. That was a really nice run last time out in the Bourbon. I like a horse doing anything for the second time, right? Especially when they did it for the first time and they did it well. Mustabek went 2 turns for the first time in the Bourbon, tried the turf for the first time, and ran absolutely his best race. And I just think he's going to get better. He has got that turn of foot that really good turf horses show at a top level. And I think they're all going to have their hands full with him. And I think if you don't have a good bit of distance on him from the eighth pole home, you know, good luck holding him off because he can really rally. And then out of door for Wesley Ward. Look, this horse does have to, you know, contend with a couple of turns here, but this colt was just sensationally good first time out. And then last time out, that Kentucky Downs turf course was very soft and a lot of horses couldn't handle it. And he handled it brilliantly. And he's coming off the fastest number of anybody in the field. So that's going to be a tough one with Jose Ortiz in the irons. I will say this about Wesley Ward. He is a fantastic trainer and I would take nothing away from him at any level, but you always do have to keep into account. He trains all his two-year-olds to be fast. He trains them all to get out of the gate in good order. They all seem to win early. Now, the downside of that is they don't always have the improvement down the line in their subsequent races that some other trainers who kind of ease these horses and let them develop a little more slowly would have. So Altidore could be as good as what we've seen thus far in two starts, where I think most of the time you get to this point of the year with two-year-olds, they're still on an upward trajectory. So that's the only caution I give you for Altidore. But for the U.S. horses, Mustabek is going to be tough.
Very, very interesting indeed. 850 GMTs. The next race we're going to take a look at is for juvenile fillies over on the dirt. Princess Noor tops the betting 15-8 for Bob Baffert and Victor Espinosa. Simply Ravishing is next in at threes, 15-4. Day Out of the Office, and it's 6-1 in Bigger the Rest. Mike, we can start with you. Naturally, on the dirt surface, the US Challenge is going to be pretty much dominating this market. What did you make of this one at the moment?
So just overall, Princess Noor. So I use a product called Thoroughgraph, which is just a speed figure, but it's a very finely distilled one. And I think probably the best algorithm for equating how fast a horse runs. And on Thoroughgraph numbers and on buyer speed figures and the things we use here in the States to quantify how good a horse is, she's not a standout, not by any stretch of the imagination. And in fact, there are horses that have run faster than her. The caveat there is if you've ever seen her run, she looks like she's in a workout every time. They've never come close to getting to the bottom of this filly. So there's certainly a lot more there. But for the price she's going to be offering, I think this is the short price you try to beat on Friday. I think this is the one that I don't want to mess with Jackie's Warrior, because that horse, we'll get to the juvenile in a little bit. That horse is a sensation. But this is the one you're going to try to beat. And I think Day Out of the Office was brilliant in Frisette at Belmont. I think VQuist is a very nice runner. She's by Nyquist, who won the juvenile at Keeneland back in 2015 and was an undefeated Kentucky Derby winner, was a champion at age two, and his progeny have been running absolutely lights out. I think Simply Ravishing has a chance as well. Princess Noor, look, she could be, you know, the second coming of Beholder for all we know when her career is done. But right now, she just hasn't run faster than everybody else in this field. Could she? Absolutely. We've all seen how she does it. But if I'm going to try to beat a prohibitively short price on Friday, she's the one I'm going to play against.
Sean, would you agree with that? From a trading angle, would this be the favorite you're trying to get beat?
Yeah, it's one we're going to try and get after, I'd say. You know, it has, as Mike said, it's looked absolutely sensational in three starts, but the problem being that it's beat some very average horses at best. We just don't know how good it is. It could be, as you said, it could be the second coming, but I'd rather take it on. And if it is, we can find out that way. I really like VQuist here as well. I thought it ran a really nice race in the Frisette the last time at Belmont. It gave away first run to the winner, Day Out of the Office, in a slowly run race. Kind of closed late and that. So I really think that the change of two turns here, the extra 16th of a mile will play to that one's favourite. I think Rosario will be far more aggressive on her this time, use her speed early, and should get her in a really nice position. So I think the Princess Noor will have to go by her on the straight if she's going to beat him.
Lovely stuff. 9:30 back on the turf, the juvenile fillies turf on Pearl, 3-1 favourite Campanelle, a name that will strike fear into many Euro opponents. 4-1 next in Plum Alley fives. Miss Amulet for Ken Condon is 11-1. Aidan O'Brien sends over Mother Earth, who's 12. Udonata for Jesse Harrington is 14s, alongside Madone, and it's 16-1 and Bigger the Rest. Sean, we'll start with you. On her runs in Europe, Campanella has been absolutely amazing. Why then is Aunt Pearl in at favourite? Maybe for European punters who maybe aren't in tune with their US racing, has she put in some incredible performances over there?
Yeah, she's won two races now, the last of which was a trial for this at Keeneland. I think she broke the stakes record there. She went fast early in front and she just kept going. They came at her at the far turn and she just picked up again. The suggestion, looking at the races, she had more in hand. So if she gets, she's drawn really well to attack here. I don't think there's any front runners inside her. If she gets loose on the rail and gets to set anything resembling reasonable fraction, she's going to take some catching. Now, Campanelle isn't slow, and she's probably the forgotten horse. We haven't seen her since she ran in Deauville in the morning, and so she's probably just further at the back of the mind. The form of that race hasn't really worked out as well as you would have liked. The second horse got beaten in Longchamp and Arc weekend, so I think Anne Pearl is probably just the bull's horse at the moment, which is just not sure into favouritism, but you still have to respect Campanelle. Mike's already talked about Wesley Ward. She's going to be ready to run. She's working well. And the two of them could go early. It could be hard to peg them back. And that's how I see the race panning out.
Mike, Campanelle, a winner over the Lightning Five at Royal Ascot, then over six in Deauville, as we spoke about earlier, at a new trip now for Wesley Ward. Is this something you'd be slightly concerned about? And what's your own opinion on Aunt Pearl as well, as she is good as her price maybe suggests?
I like Aunt Pearl. I'm not sold on Campanella. I'll play against her in this spot. I don't think that the morning line here in the States is 4-1. I don't think that holds up. I think everyone can see the international travel, the Group 1 win in France. I think they're going to bet her, and Frankie Dettori gets aboard. I like Aunt Pearl. I think, you know, she ran sensationally well at Keeneland and the Jessamine. But the Keeneland turf course, this summer we ran those dates in July because with the pandemic, everything was rescheduled. And they set track records everywhere, right? And they thought it was because it was the summer. But then they came back to Keeneland this fall, and the main track was playing really fast, and so was the turf course. And so I know she set a stakes record there. As stakes records go, I don't know that it was excellent. And she was all by herself on the front end, which she very may well be again in the Breeders' Cup. The horse that finished behind her, Spanish Love Affair, 15-1 morning line. I don't think they bet her. I think she's a really talented animal, and I think she can get to her with another go. I would not sell her short at all. And at 15-1, she's going to be on most of my exotic wagers. The horse I like the most in here is Plum Ali for Christophe Clément. I just love this progression for this filly. She's 3-for-3 at three different racetracks. She went from Saratoga to Kentucky Downs to Belmont. She has won at a mile and a 16th. She went through her condition. She won $500,000 stakes in a grade two. The timing is beautiful. The progression of how fast she's gone is just as perfect as can be. For me, she's not going to be too far back. I know she was sitting off a pretty slow pace last time out, but she's not going to be winding up one of these giant moves where she has to pick off the whole field. She'll sit fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there, and she could get a real good trip. Now, if Aunt Pearl gets loose, yes, it could all be over very, very quickly. But she's the horse I think has the most talent in this field, and I think she's progressing the best into this race.
Excellent. 10:15. It is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and that signs off our Friday night's action at Keeneland. Jackie's Warrior tops the betting at 11-8, 9-2. Essential Quality Reinvestment Risk is 15-2, and it's 10-1 bar those. Sean, we'll let you kick this one off. Favorites short, possibly going to get shorter.
Yeah, I think so. This one's going to carry a whole lot of money. Like, this is another horse in the car that could be the second coming. He's looked unbelievably good in his three starts to date. Was really good in the grade one at Belmont last time out, beating reinvestment risk again. It now has to go two turns for the first time, has to go an extra 16. This is going to bring stamina into play a lot more than speed. It's been a front runner. It's all its three starts. It has speed outside. It has speed inside. I think if it's on the lead, it's going too quick. If it's not on the lead, we've never seen what it's done taking a lead off other horses before. So given this is going to be around the even money mark, I'd have to look elsewhere in a full field of 14 here.
Mike, your own opinion on the Juvenile?
I think he makes some fair points, but I don't think they're going to beat him. This colt is just so much better than everybody else. And sometimes you just get a feel, you get a horse like this, he's just better than everybody else. And at this point, I know the two turns is a little bit of a question. I'm not too worried about it. If someone gets the lead from him, he can rate. He's a brilliant, brilliant animal. And the numbers that he's putting up are faster than the numbers that half the horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic are running. I mean, they're just sensational, especially in the Hopeful and the Champagne, those back-to-back grade ones. And he passes every test. He's the way he does it, the way he looks, he passes the eyeball test. He just looks regal. And he made Reinvestment Risk look cheap last time out. I mean, he didn't beat him. He made him look like he was just on a different level. I don't want to mess around with Jackie's Warrior. There's a lot of really nice horses in here, but unless he scratches, I don't see him beating him. So it's one of those prohibitively short prices, but you just got to play around it and find a way, because I think he's going to be 5-for-5 and a champion 2-year-old, and it's going to be quite easy when all said and done.
Yeah, speaking from experience, being made look cheap is not a good feeling at all. Sean, before we move on to talk about Saturday, what's the lock for Friday night in Keeneland? What's the best bet to kind of get us off to a flyer and set us up nicely looking down to the main events on Saturday?
I'm gonna play two big prizes. The first one is in the Juvenile. We just talked about a horse called Rambert, trained by Mike McCarthy. So this is a horse who should really relish the conditions here. He's just a stone cold closer. He's been running in really slowly run races, making some really big moves that off the pace that wouldn't suit the way the races have been run. He's going to get a really fast pace to run out here, and that's going to bring him into the race. I think I'm expecting to get over 20-1 on him. And the other one I'm going to back is in the Juvenile turf called Abarta, who was second to Mustabayak. This is a Brad Cox horse. He was just an absolute baby in the Bourbon when he was second behind Mustabayak. He wouldn't go on the bridle. He fell out the back and came down so late down the outside and was only beaten two lengths at the end. He puts blinkers on him. Brad Cox has a 30% strike rate when putting blinkers on. If he taught him how to concentrate and actually race properly, I think he could be a big danger again at around the 20-1 mark.
Lovely stuff. If you get it wrong at 20s, nobody really cares. But you get it right, you're a genius. I like your style, Sean. I like your stuff.
The Frank Hickey Mike, strategy.
Mike, what's your lock to set up your Friday evening and to set you up in a good position going into Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you what. In the early part of the Breeders' Cup race on Friday, we didn't talk about it, but I think the O'Brien and Coolmore horse, Lipizzaner, is very live coming out of that race at Doncaster last time out. The sprint horses in the turf division for the juveniles stateside are just okay. I don't think there's anybody in there that's really going to, you know, outside of the Wesley Ward winner, Golden Pal. I think he's a colt. Again, I mean, his race at Saratoga was sensational. Don't get me wrong, but I think what you see is what you get with Golden Pal. That's pretty much who he is at this point. I'd be gambling that, you know, with that outside draw, he's going to have to clear and be used up. I'd roll the dice at 20-1 with Lipizzaner. And throughout the day, I mean, there's horses to try to beat. I'd go deep to try and get, you know, Princess Norbeat. And I just would stay away from Jackie's Warrior. Just, I submit, I put my hands up in the air.
There you have it. Friday at the Breeders' Cup in a nutshell.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Moving on to Saturday then at Keeneland. We have 9 races and we have 9 grade ones. If Friday night didn't whet your appetite, well, this just about might. What a brilliant, brilliant evening we have in store. And make sure you book your television to watch this one. Racing gets underway in the UK and Ireland at 5:02 our time. And the first race on the card is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Gamine tops the betting at 6-4. Serengeti Empress is second favourite, 11-4. Bell's the One is 9-2, and it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. Mike, this one seems to be dominated by the top three in the betting. Is that how you see it?
I think Gamine is really good, but I don't like the price she's going to be. And I'm not sold. I don't think this is the fastest bunch. I really do like Come Dancing. I know she's 6. I don't know if she's capable of running the kind of race she ran in the distaff at Aqueduct back in 2019 when she, you know, won by 7 lengths going 7 furlongs. But last time out, she ran a brilliant race in the Honorable Miss, probably the best race we've seen from her in over a year. And I think, you know, Carlos Martin backed off at her at that point because he had her where she wanted her, and she can run that kind of a number fresh. Now at age 6 with the mare, sometimes, you know, you get them going in the right direction, they get right really well really quickly. If they get them going in the wrong direction, they can be off form for a while. I think what we saw was after the Gallant Bloom in 2019, she was off form for a while, and I think she's just starting to climb up to that peak. So if the Honorable Miss was a signal of her next race, she wins. If the Honorable Miss was her peak and she's on the way back down, then it's going to be tough at age 6 to take on some of these young guns. But at 8-1, and I think you'll get that, she's going to be my pick there.
Lovely stuff. Sean, I see you nodding your head on our Zoom call. Are you widely in agreement with some of Mike's comments there?
Yeah, absolutely. We all know a lot about Gamine. Obviously, she was the Kentucky Oaks favorite. Didn't go her way there. But I hate the post position draw in 2 for her here. She's every race she's ever been in, she's led, and she's not going to lead here. So for the first time, she's going to be sitting back on the rail, getting kicked back from faster horses. So I've no idea how she's going to react to that. Could be hard to work a trip for her as well, given that she could be boxed in. The one I like is Bell's the One. This was a really good winner of the Derby Day distaff at Churchill Downs on its last start. This one's going to sit back and leave them at it early and just come with one late withering run that nails Serengeti Empress, who reopposes here that time. There's more pace pressure here for Serengeti Empress to soften her up in the lead. So I'm hoping she can fly down the outside late to nail them all.
Lovely stuff. 5:39 is the turf sprint. Imprimis is 5-1, joint favourite alongside Leinster and Got Stormy, our co-favourite, I should say. Glass Slippers is 7-1, 10-1, Alexandra 14-1, and bigger the rest. Sean, we'll let you start this one off. 3 co-favourites, what's the thinking here?
There's some amount of fence sitting going on here. Yes. Whoever gets the best trip wins this race. This is pretty evenly matched bunch of sprinters. I don't think there's any such standout superstar. Got Stormy was really interesting this year, cutting back from, she was a miler last year. She's been really good, but she's not drawn great, and she's going to be giving some fast horses a big lead here to chase down. The one I think is most likely to win is probably Leinster, but we know what he is. He's pretty exposed. He's going to run to a good level. If I was to have an each way squeak and one, I'd try the one big runner who's only making his 8th career start. He's run some really nice numbers in California. he's drawn one and he can be a little bit slow out of the gates, but once he gets him running, he's very fast. If he can grab the lead on the rail here, I don't think there's too much to take him on, and he might just be able to last home, but it's only a token selection in what is a wide open race.
Mike, do you find this one as hard to split as the Petty Pair of Traders do?
Well, I like Big Renewer as well, I'll tell you that much. This horse, I've watched every one of his races here in California, I've covered every one of his races, and he's owned by one of the greatest racehorse trainers in North American history, and King Juan Garcia. His son Victor is the trainer now, but they called him King Juan because he won every race there was to win at Caliente back in the day in Tijuana, and then here in Southern California, he had a major impact as well. He's just really good, and I love the way that Victor brought him along as a horse. He clearly took him a while to get to the race. He didn't debut until he was four. He wins his maiden. He kind of, you know, hacked away at his allowance conditions until he got him into stakes company, but boom, boom, he ran two really big races in the Siren Lauren and the Eddie D. That jockey, Juan Hernandez, he came to California this summer at Del Mar and ended up fourth in the jockey standings when Umberto Rispoli, Flavian Pratt were getting every, you know, favorite and second choice in just about every single race. It was tough for anybody else. And he was just bringing his tack here for the first time. He can really ride. He is as good a finisher in any race, on any surface, but, you know, particularly on turf, as you will see from the U.S. riders. I think he is a name that you want to pay attention to because he was on a lesser circuit for the most of his career to this point, and now he's gone big time, and he is very good. I think Imprimis is probably the right horse for Joe Orsino, just coming into his own at the right time. He had all that time off, and then he brought him back with two really good victories. And I think that, you know, he's about as good as he's ever been in his career, and he's a sensational horse. The price that I will give you is Wet Your Whistle at 15-1 for Michael Trombetta, just because last time out in the Churchman Invitational at Belmont Park, that's not the trip this horse wants, right? I mean, the last four wins for him were all a stalking trip or something from a little off the pace. He got the lead because it was there for the taking, and I think he was just keen that day. So Jose said, let's go with it. But that's not the trip he wants or needs, and he still won. And he ran as fast of a race as he'd run in about five or six starts. So you're seeing this five-year-old back to, you know, top form. And since he's five, this is probably his physical peak he'll ever be at. And he's a win machine, and He can sit close. He can finish. He can, you know, if the lead was there for the taking against lesser company, he would take it like he did last time. So at 15-1, Wet Your Whistle is the horse that I'm really looking at.
Lovely. One of the price in the sprint. Lovely stuff. 6-18 is the next race we're going to look at. It is the Big Ass Fans, no less. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile Complexity, 5-2 favorite. Nick's Goal is 4-1 second. Fav Art Collector, 13-2, 7-1 Owendale, 8-1 Sharp Samurai, and 10-1 and bigger the rest. Mike, give us a steer in the mile.
All right, so I don't know what to do with Brad Cox's horse, Nick's Goal, because if he runs the race he ran last time out, he's five lengths better than everybody else. But it was such a sudden burst onto the scene off of a layoff with a big performance that he's just crying out he's going to bounce and regress off of that. If he runs that race, he's the best horse. He's never run that race before last time out. And in his 16th start to run a, you know, a new top and come back on a month rest, there's a lot of questions there. But if he runs that race, like, good night. And he gets to cut back a little bit, which will help him out. I think that this is kind of a weak field. I don't love Complexity. If he wins, I'm not going to be surprised. But I'm not a big fan of it because his two dirt mile wins were one turn affairs, right? The dirt mile in the Breeders' Cup, I mean, you can make the argument it should only be run at racetracks that have a one turn mile configuration, because at two turns, there's really no difference between a mile, mile and 16th. It's just kind of a blah race. But Complexity is a one turn miler, and you see these one turn dirt milers. They freak at a one turn mile. This horse is undefeated at a one turn mile. His best races are at a one turn mile. And his best numbers are that, or at seven furlongs. I don't know. I mean, he went two turns once and he petered out. So I just don't like that. So you can have him at 2-1. But I don't think this is the toughest bunch. I will say this. I'm looking at War of Will as a possible as he gets back to the dirt. I think he was a really nice animal on the dirt as a 3-year-old. And then they kind of turned him into a turf horse this year, but three turf starts have been kind to him. He's rounding into form. You put him back on a surface where we know he's had success because he won the Preakness on the surface. We'll see what kind of a price we get at post time. And then my other sneak here is Sharp Samurai. Sharp Samurai's last dirt effort was in the TVG Pacific Classic. The only horse that finished in front of him that day was Maximum Security. He ran a race that would absolutely win in this spot. He's been a turf horse basically his entire career, but they're putting him in this dirt mile. I think Sharp Samurai at 15-1 on the morning line is another one to pay attention to.
Sean?
Yeah, there's another race I have a very strong opinion on. I think there's a lot of moving parts here, as Mike mentioned. I've chanced Nick Scow that he backs that effort up, and as he said, if he does, he wins. I'm taking 4.92. If that happens, I'm happy enough with them odds, but other than that, I'm happy to sit back and watch with that ticket in my hand.
Lovely stuff. 6.57, it is the filly and mare turf. Rushing Fall is the 130 favourite. Mean Mary is fives. Peaceful on a recovery mission after a very disappointing run. The Sun Chariot is 6-1 next in. 9-1, Sister Charlie. Kay and Pepper makes the trip for Jesse Harrington and Shane Foley. Also nines at 10-1, Starship Jubilee and Terrabellum alongside Audaria, and it's 14-1 and bigger the rest. European representation here, Sean, but not necessarily at the top of the betting. Do you give them any chance?
I do, actually. Rushing Falls, one of my favourite horses. She's just really tough. She always runs a race and usually always wins. 9.5 furlongs here will be as far as she's ever gone, though. And like, she's a very fast animal. Like, she's a miler if you want her to be. And I just have an issue with her getting home here in a big field where there's going to be plenty coming at her. Mean Mary's a good US horse as well, has been running well this year, but she's been setting some really slow fractions off the lead and just kicking clear. She's probably going to have to go a bit faster than she's ever gone here. Of the Euros, I think Peaceful, obviously, is bouncing back towards her French classic form, would take all the beating, but it was a really bad run at Newmarket on her last start. I know they blamed the heavy ground, but they're really taking her on trust. The one European I do like here is Jessie Harrington's KN Pepper. So she's drawn 14, but that shouldn't be a problem. She's got plenty of tactical speed and should tack over into third or fourth. Like, her form reads, this year reads behind Tanao and Magical. Both of them would be clear favourites if they were here. So a line of form, I think this one reads really well. The 9.5 furlong should be absolutely perfect for her. And she's been lined up for this race for some time now. She skipped Champions Weekend. She skipped Arc Day. So I think she ticks a lot of boxes at what should be a fair price.
Yeah, I really liked her for this season as a horse to follow, but she just ran into a couple of good ones. Mike, what do you make of this one? Are the Americans too strong, or would you be looking towards the European challenge here?
Well, if by Americans you mean Rushing Fall, yeah. Outside of her, I think the Europeans have a chance. And I at some point I'll end up betting on this mare, but I always try to beat her and I always end up tearing up tickets because she doesn't ever seem to lose. So with that caveat, I will say I do like Peaceful a lot. If you can forgive that race, and you know, they don't have to dig deep into that trainer's bag of excuses to explain that effort at Newmarket last time out. It's a heavy turf course. It's going to be anything but a heavy turf course here on Saturday. So I really like Peaceful here a lot, especially because there's going to be money going in different directions than her. And I'm with you on Cayenne Pepper as well. I think the Euros here have a really good shot. If, and it's a big if, you know, Rushing Fall doesn't run her race. I mean, she's so good and she can do it in a multitude of ways. It's just so hard to get around her, but those are the ones I was looking at.
7.36 is the Breeders' Cup Sprint and two horses at the top of the betting with a lot of ones beside their name. Yopon, 9-4 favourite for Steve Asmussen and Joel Rosario. CZ Rocket is 7-2 next in. Diamond Oops is 7-1. 8-1 Firenze Fire, and it's tens and bigger the rest. Mike, what do you like in the sprint?
Well, I will say this, as far as Breeders' Cup sprints go, this is actually one of the slower groups we've seen in this race, not the toughest sprint. I've been impressed with CZ Rocket in California. I think he's a real nice gelding, and I would go into this race thinking, you know, he's going to be up against him when he faces the big horses in the sprint, and then it draws him like, oh wait, he is the big horse in the sprint. I fell in love with I do this all the time, but Firenze Fire, the way his Thoroughgraph sheets came up, the way his numbers came up, he has just absolutely been brilliant this year. He's running numbers that if he runs back to the Vosburgh, even if he runs back to that fourth place finish in the Vanderbilt where he lost to Volatile, Whitmore, and Mind Control, even if he runs that race, that's going to be competitive in this spot and probably one of the one or two fastest races in here. I'll let Yaupon prove me wrong. I think he's three. I think he's not enough seasoning. He's got four starts, and yes, he's been brilliant. He has the talent to do it. I want to believe that seasoning means something. I want to believe that having a foundation means something for a three-year-old. I know it's a sprinter. It's a different story than a horse trying to get 9 or 10 furlongs, but I want to believe those things mean something. And as flashy as he's been, I think that flash will take some play, and I'm going to try to take my money elsewhere. I'm not a believer in Diamond Oops. I've never been a believer in Diamond Oops, which means I've been right 9 out of 16 times on him. And then don't forget Vekoma Scratch. That was the morning line favorite. So that really opened this whole race up. But I think I'm leaning to a top play of Firenze Fire. But I'm, you know, I play a lot of pick threes, pick fours, the pick six. This is going to be a race where I'm throwing as many horses in as I can afford. I'm going to take a stand against some, but in, you know, in those sequential wagers, I'm going to opt for coverage because I don't think it's the strongest bunch.
Yeah, I fully agree. If you look, last year's winner, Volatile, would beat these on the bridle. Roy H, I'd say, the last winner the year before, would beat them on the bridle. There's a lot of horses in here that we just know what they are. They're not superstars. They're solid sprinters, but the one horse who might be something special is Yopan. And given you're still getting just over the 2-1 mark, I'd be happy to take a chance that he is just that something special. He's been really, really good in his races. And he's not a flashy sprinter either. He has to be asked to do it, which tells me there's more there if they get to the bottom of him. And I think he'll clear these early and he'll just be very hard to peg back here. I don't see much going with him. So I think this is one of the better favourites on the card, to be honest.
Very interesting. 8:15, we're getting to the business end of Saturday evening in Keeneland. It is the FanDuel Breeders' Cup Mile presented by the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund. Cameco tops the betting at 4-1 for Andrew Balding and Oisin Murphy Avar is next in at 6s alongside Uni Siskin. 8s alongside Raging Bull and it's 10s, Digital Age and Holiday 11-1 and bigger the rest. Interesting European runners. Sean, we'll start with you. Cameco, probably one of the unluckiest good horses I've seen in a long time. He's been messed around at this trip and they've come back to the mile now on this quick ground. Do you see this being the key to unlocking Cameco?
No. I think he's going to be unlucky here again, want of a better word. I think he's going to be best over 9 furlongs or a nice straight galloping mile where he can wind it up from the tree pole. I don't think the tight oval here is going to suit him. Like, UK and Irish train runners have an awful record in this race. Expert Eye is the only one to win this race from UK and Ireland over the last 75 who have tried. And he just to me is a typical European horse that comes over, that's some really good form, the likes of York, the likes of Newmarket, and he comes here, it's just a completely different test. They don't get a good position early, they're off the bridle early and it's just race over.
So who is your idea of the winner at the moment? If Cameco is a busted flush?
Yeah, I think Lopi Fernandez is slightly interesting given that he's run some nice races over 6 and 7, so he has some of that tactical speed that's going to be able to get him into a position. Frankie Dettori rides Silver Rhine, which I've no issue with whatsoever. I don't think Circus Maximus has any chance here, especially drawn one. I don't think he's good enough to lead. The one I landed with for Chad Brown was Digital Age, who seems to be just a new horse these days. His last two runs are really good. There is a suspicion he prefers 9 furlongs to 8, but I was really impressed the way he picked up Factor This on his last start, which is at Churchill Downs. The fact that this has gone on in one sense really impressively. So if he's not too far back as they turn for home, I don't think there's going to be much finishing stronger than him. So at around the 8-19-1 mark, I think he represents a solid each-way play.
Sean, just a very quick word on Siskin. What's your take on Siskin? Would you be one of the people preaching that he's a horse that is all at sea? Has he lost his way, or could you see him putting in a big performance here?
You're just taking it on trust, isn't he? I know he was very well fancied going into his last race in France, and there was talk he was going to run the Champions Day after or else on Arc Day, and they've obviously taken their time with him. He's a bit of a devil in the gates, and if he's acting that again here and he lets them go, it's race over. So you'll know your medicine quick enough here at the start. But if he can break and get travelling and behave himself, he could actually be one that's suited for this, given that he is a horse that travels and has a devastating turn of foot when seen to best effect.
Mike, a big boon for our friends in FanDuel to get the name on the Breeders' Cup Mile. What did you like here?
So, you know, it's late in the day and you get tired of handicapping. You just take Chad Brown in the turf races and call it a day. And you could do that with Uni and Raging Bull here. The draw for Raging Bull is brutal. I'll tell you what, this isn't the toughest Breeders' Cup Mile I've ever seen. And it's a pretty evenly matched bunch. There's going to be another race I'm using a lot of runners in. My top pick is going to be Halliday for Todd Pletcher. I really like the way this colt runs. He's a horse that can get the lead, but what really good grade one horses do is they have an ability, this is for all surfaces, they have an ability to run fast interior fractions without expending too much energy. And he fits it to a T. When you watch the way he gets the lead, he can carve out an opening quarter in 23, 46, 47, and he's doing it within himself. He's not all out. He's doing it in a nice fluid stride. He's really everything you want from a front runner. And oh, by the way, if he doesn't get the lead, he can track and he can pounce. Is there a question of class? Yeah, a little bit, until he won the 4-star Dave last time out, because now he's that grade one winner at age 4. And we're getting to this weird point in U.S. racing where people are starting to forget about Todd Pletcher. 5 years ago, you're not getting Todd Pletcher at prices at Saratoga and Belmont and down in Florida at, you know, 4 or 5 to 1 because there's a Chad Brown runner in there now. Everyone's, you know, he's become, you know, the leading trainer at a couple of those meets now, and he's picked up the Eclipse Awards. People forget that, oh yeah, by the way, Todd Pletcher was the best trainer in the US for about 20 years, and he still might be. It's just a different game a little bit for him now because he doesn't have as large of a stable. He still won 152 races this year. He's going to have close to 1,000 starters by the end of the year. He's still a 20% trainer. But a horse like Halliday, I really just love the way he moves. And he's a fast horse. He's a fast turf miler. He's not really a turf miler because most of his races mile and 16th or thereabouts. But I think the way he goes about it, and especially with those tight turns, you don't want to be having to make up too much ground in this mile event. It's going to be a crowded field. So at 12 to 1, I think I'll get that come post time. I think we'll still see close to, you know, double digit odds on this horse as they go into the gate.
Very good. Onwards we go. 8:54 is the distaff, and Monomoy Girl tops the betting at 11 to 8. Swiss Skydiver is next in at 2s. Harvest Moon in the Tabor colours for Simon Callan, and Flavian Pratt is 11 to 1 alongside Valiance and Ollie's Candy, and it's 12 to 1 bar. Mike, we'll let you kick us off in the distaff.
So Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy Girl is the matchup everyone wants to see. And it's appropriately billed that way. And it's most likely going to be one of those two. The horse I really like, I don't think she's good enough yet. I think she might be next year, is Harvest Moon. The first time she stepped foot on the dirt, you knew she was going to be a grade one winner. We were talking about it at Del Mar in her second or her third career start when she cleared her allowance condition. The way she did that, I know there wasn't a whole lot behind her, but the way she did it, I mean, she carries herself with such class. She has such a good way of going. She's trackable. I mean, she just oozes class. I mean, she's such a fantastic filly. I don't know that she's good enough yet. She hasn't run a number that says she can run with, you know, CC, and she can run with Swiss Skydiver or Valiance or the other one. But she is a filly. Boy, if she put it all together, if she really hit, you know, her potential right here, I would love to see her. She is going to be something special. If they keep her going through her 4-year-old campaign, we're gonna be talking about her like we were talking about Swiss Skydiver in her 3-year-old campaign, and like we were talking about Monomoy Girl. I think she has that much talent, but she's just a late developer. She didn't debut until June of her 3-year-old year. So I like her a lot. I'm rooting for her. I'm gonna have some money on her. So I don't want to get left by the sidelines. I understand who this race goes through. Swiss Skydiver is a fantastic filly. Monomoy Girl is a fantastic mare, and if it's those two that hit the wire together, great. I'll root them on. But Harvest Moon is the one I like the most.
9:33 is the Breeders' Cup Turf Magical, 5-2 favorite. Tarnawa 3-1. Mogul 130, 15-2. Lord North, and it's 9-1 bar. Sean, we'll start with you. Magical, maybe a little bit below par in Ascot the last time, and we've got Tarnawa, who, like a fine wine, seems to be getting better and better for Dermot Weld, and Mogul, who can flip in and out of form. What did you make of the top of the market in the turf?
Yeah, with respect to the US representation here, I think this one's coming back to Europe with the quality of runners we sent over. Yeah, I was disappointed with Magical at Ascot. I thought she did everything in her favour that day. She didn't get the best of rides out of Ryan, but given the small field here, I don't see a repeat of that happening. That was a tough race she got, the one. Really heavy ground 3 weeks ago. I know she's a tough filly, but that can just leave its mark. Tarnawa is obviously coming in here in great form, has been targeting this since the arc. It's had a nice break, but as you said, the one that dips in and out of form is Mogul, and he very much dipped into form when he got proper fast ground for the first time in Longchamp on Arc Trials Day, and from that moment, I think they decided they're going to put it away, wait for the fast ground in America. I've no issue with Budo keeping the ride. I think he's probably the best rider in the world at the moment. The time of that try was really, really quick, and the form has worked out really well. I think the second and third ran third and fourth, or second and third in the arc. So no questions about the form there. I think this one's been targeting the race, still improving. So that's the one I'd be siding on between the three.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that the race in Ascot was tough for Magical. I would say the Irish Champion Stakes wasn't easy either, and they can leave their mark on those fillies. Mike, would you agree that with the sentiment that the European challenge is probably too strong for the domestic challenge here?
Okay, so this is how it's going to unfold. It's either going to be one of those Euros that you were just talking about, or it's going to be Arklow. And Brad Cox is so bullish on his charge here. Now, let's go back to a year ago. Belmont wins the Turf Classic Invitational en route to the Breeders' Cup Turf, and then when has to face these big horses was nowhere. That was a different year. Bricks and Mortar was sensational. He actually ran a really good race despite being eighth. He was only beaten three lengths of all. If you go back and watch what he did, he's come back on a campaign that has been clearly pointed to this event. His race last time out was the best race he's ever run in his life. So does he repeat that? I think so, because back on September 12th, he has plenty of time. But Brad Cox is going to have a good Breeders' Cup. It looks that way. He has quickly become one of the best trainers in the U.S. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say he likes Arklow better than any other runner he's got going. I was talking to our camera guy. This is like the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens, the Breakfast of the Breeders' Cup. And there's the show, and then there's the show behind the show. And the show behind the show is all these people that are, you know, behind the camera that are gambling on these races. And they're trying to make their year on Breeders' Cup and not on the per diem to go out to eat. Arklow, he said, was the horse that Brad Cox was highest on. I said, well, what about Monomoy Girl in the distaff? He goes, no, he's high on her, but he's got to run against Swiss Skydiver. I'm like, well, he's got to take on all the Euros in the turf. He's like, he is as high on Arklow as he is on any of his horses. So I'm going to take my money in that direction. I know I'm taking on, you know, monsters from across the Atlantic, but if it's not one of those horses, it's going to be Arklow. And I don't know exactly how I'm going to play it, but I will have some win money on Arklow. And if he wins, I hope to cash a couple of things going in and out of it, a couple of pick threes here and there, so a couple of doubles, something like that.
And let me tell you, Mike, if you ever make a trip to Ireland, Arklow is a beautiful town in South County Wicklow, and it's beautiful in the springtime. You've got to see it. 18 minutes past 10 is the final race of the weekend at Keeneland. It is the Breeders' Cup Classic, and Improbable tops the betting at 5-2. Tis the Law, 100-30, maximum security, 4-1, 11-2, Tom's d'Etat. Authentic is 11-2 also, and it's 16-1, and Bigger the Rest. Mike, is Improbable probable?
Look, there's a chance that he's just better than everybody else, right? I mean, that's you look at his campaign. If he didn't run in the Breeders' Cup Classic, he'd be taking votes for Horse of the Year just based on what he's done. Just those three Grade One victories in the Gold Cup, the Whitney, and the Awesome Again. He might just be better than everybody else. His speed figures suggest it. The way he wins suggest it. The horses he beats suggest it. It might be that case. I will say this though, he has stiff competition just from his own stable. I was not a believer in Authentic going into the Kentucky Derby. I thought Authentic was going to top out at a mile and an eighth. I didn't think he had any chance of getting that 10th furlong. And he not only proved me wrong, in order to win the Kentucky Derby, he only had to hold off the best horse in the world, and Tis the Law, to do so, who had every chance to go by him and was never going to do it. He ran faster in the Preakness when he lost to Swiss Skydiver, which I know is probably counterintuitive to what you saw with your eyes, pretty little counterintuitive to the fractions of the time than what you're seeing. But he actually ran a faster race. The ground he covered, he was on the outside. He had to run further than everybody else. He got beat by a superstar filly and Swiss Skydiver, but he covered way more ground than her that day. So he actually improved from Derby to Preakness despite losing. He came out of the Preakness training like King Kong. This horse at 6-1 in the morning line, I don't know if you get it, but he's a horse that I've completely flip-flopped on. After the Haskell, I thought, look, this is a horse who maxes out at a mile and an eighth. After the Derby and the Preakness, I'm looking at him now. We could be talking about him as the best horse of these classic runners coming out. So pay attention to him. I'm off maximum security. He'll get a piece. I just don't think he's as good as these other horses. I don't think Global Campaign has a chance. I'm not a higher power guy. I think Title Ready is just kind of filling out the field. Tom's d'Etat, I have my questions about, but if he runs to Stephen Foster, he's going to be right there with it. Same with By My Standards and Tis the Law. Tacitus is the play against, ball play against. He's 20-1 on the morning line. He is this brilliantly beautiful, talented, checks every box except for the win box. He never seems to get the job done in a Grade One. So that's my classic rundown. I'm going to be making a healthy bet on Authentic, and I'm going to opt for coverage in there. Like I said, you know, I'll be playing the pick five, the pick four, and the pick six into the classic. I most likely will be landing on at least four, if not five horses, but I think my win money is going to Authentic.
Excellent. Sean, would you agree or disagree, or what's your take on the closing race of the 2020 Breeders' Cup Carnival?
So yeah, I agree on Improbable. I don't really like him. I think all his best runs have come in really small fields where he's gotten really soft and perfect trips that he's beaten. I think his best four speed figures have come in race with field size of 4, 5, 5, and 6. So there's a real suspicion he's just a little flat track bully. And when he comes to a race where it's put up to him and he faces a bit of adversity, he could chuck in the towel. He did that a couple of times yesterday or last year. Maybe he's improved from 3-4 and he's copped on a bit, but I'm not so sure. Authentic itself, I'm a little bit worried he has his quirks. I think he needs to lead, and if he's not in the lead, he has no chance. You saw when Swiss Skydiver went up the rail inside him in the Preakness, he had the whole length of the straight to go by, and he was just looking at her. He wouldn't go by her, so he's going to need to be gunned. But if he gets to the lead, it'll be tough to pass. Obviously, he beat Tizzalaw in the Kentucky Derby. I think that's just what Tizzalaw is. I don't think there's any improvement coming out of him. So the one I landed on was Tom's Daytas. So he's coming here off a three-month layoff, but he goes really well fresh. That's by design. The train is very bullish. He was last seen at Saratoga behind him, probably. He lost all chance when he fell out of the gate, lost four lengths, still ran reasonably well. His form earlier on in the year was really, really good, and he's just as consistent as they come. He just always shows up and always runs his race. He's tactically very versatile. I'd say he just sit off these, let them go hard early, and he should be picking them up late. So it'd be my idea of the bet in the race, but wide open.
Well, there you have it, a whistle-stop tour of the Breeders' Cup. My thanks to Mike and Sean. Before we let you go, best bet of Saturday night, guys, what's the one that's going to just set off the weekend for us? What's the one, Sean?
We will go in the Classic, and we will take Tom's Data.
Tom's Data for Sean O'Sullivan in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Mike?
I think I'm going to make it Halliday for Todd Fletcher in the Turf Mile. I think Halliday is going to hold that price and is fast enough to just get whatever trip that he needs. And whatever trip he gets, he can get there effortlessly. He's talented enough to make his own trip. He's very fast. He can be on the lead. He might be sitting second or third, but I think he's going to be tough to beat.
Lovely stuff. Thanks indeed, gents. Sean, I assume you're on the clock for the weekend. Are you working hard?
Yep, till 10:15 on Saturday, which means first drink at around 10:16. So,
good man. And Mike, you're in Kentucky, are you?
Yeah, I'm at Keeneland. So I start at about 2 hours before the first race. We'll start milling about, and we've got some stuff to do. But I'll be covering every race. I'm bouncing back because TVG is covering all the races. We're also doing the World Feed, which then TVG takes. We've got like two broadcasts kind of switching back and forth, and then all of the talent are kind of switching between them. So I'll be on for every race.
Very good. You've got a busy weekend ahead of you. Well, lads, my humble thanks indeed. Enjoy the Breeders' Cup. We've got Frank Hickey on domestic action coming up next.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Well, time now to turn our minds to all things domestic racing, and I'm delighted to be joined, as ever, by my old familiar friend, Mr. Frank Hickey. Frank, how are things?
I'm very well, Tom. And yourself?
I'm all the better for speaking to you. As always, you are the highlight of my weekend. What is the Frank Hickey take on the Breeders' Cup? Anything sticking out like a sore thumb at this stage?
I'm very confident of having my most profitable Breeders' Cup ever, Tom, because I don't intend on having a bet.
Oh, right. It hasn't been a happy hunting ground for you in the past, then.
Every year I say the same thing. Never, ever again am I betting on that. And I always give in and have a couple of bets and very rarely hit the mark. So this year I'm going to stay away from it and maybe watch it at most.
Maybe. You'll stick to the domestic stuff, which we're going to have a quick word about. Now, good racing in the UK and Ireland over the weekend. Wincanton is the main fixture in the UK. We're going to take a look at a couple of the races there. 225 is the Rising Stars, and that was Jay Small, but select field here. Frank Grant Sansi tops the betting 4-6. Gallows 5-2, and 9-2. Hurricane Harvey is the outsider of the three. I suppose, as a betting heat, it's not the most compelling race, but do you see any of these kind of maybe forming part of some of the bigger pictures towards the end of the season?
This GA Law is a bit interesting in that he's obviously bolted up with his two chase starts. He's only a four-year-old, so he's getting a stone off Grand Sansi, but at the same time, I think you'll have to do to beat him. Like Grand Sansi likes Wincanton, was second in the elite hurdle, the grade two elite hurdle here last year, and he won the Kingwell Hurdle as a novice in 2019. The track suits him. Look, he was campaigning at grade level over fences before getting off the market, fourth start at Fontwell, and he won very easily in listed chase and three appearance in a three-runner race at Chepstow. I think he could develop into a nice horse. You see what Paul Nicholls can do with these horses at the step up and trip. He can just improve them hugely, and I wouldn't be surprised if Grand Sansi ended up running in something like the Harsh Chase at Cheltenham. Just wouldn't surprise me the way Nicholls can improve them.
Interesting stuff. 3 o'clock, Wincanton is the elite hurdle. Skull Royale tops the betting at 11 to 10. Solo 5 to 2. The Hot Pot, so disappointing afterwards. Solo last year. Diego de Charmel 9 to 2. Next in is Master Debonair at 7s, 20 to 1. The two rags, Brandon Castle and Tekani. Frank, what do you make of this one? I suppose on ratings, it would be Skull Royales to lose, especially getting weight from Solo.
Yeah, like Solo and Master Debonair both have £3 penalties. And look, in hindsight, that Adonis Hurdle Solo won probably wasn't up to much. I think it was probably a weak race. And we think it's a very, he's first string on jockey bookings. But yeah, I'd be wanting to take him on. Master Debonair, the Tizard stable seem to be out of form at the moment. And he's got the £3 penalty, so I'd be against him. Look, Soriel, it's very hard to get away from. He's a short enough price, but he does relish good ground. And Brandon Castle being a rag here, even though he's a rag, I think he might be important to this race because he normally tears off in front. And if he does, he's just going to give something for Soriel to aim at and drag him into the race. And look, you could just see him there coming swinging between the last two, and I think he'll take a bit of beating. He was very impressive winning the Welsh Champion Hurdle off 150. And to be fair, when he gets his ground over fences, he's not far off top class as a, you know, 2 mile chaser either. So, yeah, it's the one to beat.
Would he be multiple bet lock material for the weekend, do you reckon?
I just can't see what would beat him in that. Solo, £3 penalty, I just don't think he's that good. I think his rating flatters him. Mass Debonair, the yard, red form. Yeah, I think, barring an accident, it's tough to see what would beat him.
Lovely stuff. 3:35, Wincanton is the Badger Beer Silver Trophy. Present Man, 5-1 favourite alongside Danny Whizbang. El Presente, 8-1 next in alongside Just a Sting. Champagne Court is shortened up into nines. Potterman is 10-1 alongside Some Chaos and My Way, 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. It's a competitive little race, Frank. What did you like?
It's always really good. Nicholas is a... Look, it's no surprise, a brilliant record in the race. It's won it the last 3 years, and it's won it 5 times out of the last 10. He is Present Man in here, who won in 2017 and 2018. I was pulled up last year when the ground was a bit too soft for him. He won his reappearance at Chepstow, only a couple of pounds higher. You could definitely make a case for Danny Whizbang and even My Way down near the bottom. But the one I'm going to take a chance on is a bit of a price, and that's Kitty's Light for Christian Williams. Only a four-year-old, remarkable. Only a four-year-old running over 3 miles over fences, but he's only had 4 starts over fences, won 3 of them. He's 2 from 2 over 3 miles. He just looks all about stamina. The last day at Exeter, I thought it was a useful little race for the track and the time of year, and he just stayed on really strongly to win very nicely. He's gone up to a mark of 132, but being a four-year-old, he gets a £10 allowance. Just the prices. The only thing about it, he has been running in small fields over fences. He's going to be running in a 15 runner field. But if he can manage to, you know, settle and, you know, not be too intimidated by the big field, I think he's a there going places and a double figure price. I definitely have a few bob each way in him.
Lovely stuff. Sting in the tail of the flat season domestically. The November handicap takes place on both sides of the Irish Sea. The one we are going to take a look at is the one at Doncaster. As Sam Cook tops the betting at 11-2. Eucan Glen 6-1 next in. Kingbrook is 7s. Tulip Fields 10-1. 12-1 on to victory alongside Dash of Spice, Surrey Pride and Eagle Court. And it's 14s bar. Frank, trappy enough. And will probably, the ground could throw a curveball in there as well. Anything standing out to you at the moment in the November handicap in Doncaster?
Yeah, we're going to be paying extra places here, and I'm going to give one last chance to Surrey Pride. He won twice already this year at Newbury and Chester. Was very impressive at Chester, winning off marks of 79 and 85. Was kind of prominent enough in the market at Newmarket when stepping up from 10 furlongs to 1.5, was held up too far off the pace that day, was running on late to finish 5th off America 91. The last day at Newbury, I think the ground was really heavy. I think it was just too testing for him. He does handle soft ground, no problem, but I think the heavy ground was against him. He's been dropped a pound to a mark of 90. It's only £5 higher than his impressive Chester win. Ray Dawson is on board. He's a very, very useful £5 claimer. He had great value for his £5. And just again at the prices, he's around the 12-1 mark at the moment. He'd probably be the one I'd side with each way with the extra places.
Lovely stuff. Anything else standing out to you on Saturday at the moment, Frank? I know we've got good racing at Aintree, Kelso and Nace. Anything else?
I have one from Doncaster, one from Kelso, and one from Aintree. So I'll run through them. In the 3:45, the 7 furling apprentice handicap at Doncaster, I take a chance on Ptarmigan Ridge for Richard Hughes. This horse has made its reappearance after nearly a year off the track, but on its reappearance last year, he was second over 7 furlongs at Haylock on soft ground off a mark of 88. No disgrace in that because he was beaten by Save Voyage, who was running off a mark of just 103. He, on his second last start last season, he was second at Haylock again off a mark of 85. That was over 6 furlongs. The trip was just a tad too short. He was running on strongly at the end. George Rook is one, it's an apprentice handicap. So George Rook's pretty useful. He's claiming 3 and he's one of the better riders in the race. Ptarmigan Ridge reappears off a mark of 85. Soft ground's absolutely ideal for him. I think he should be a fair price and I'm taking a chance on him. Up at Aintree, Quad de Neuf for Evan Williams goes over fences. He was a point winner who slammed Howling Man and Limousougne, my pronunciation is terrible there, in that point. They're both very useful horses in their own right. One is novice hurdle on his first attempt at Aintree over this trip, beating Reds or Captain Drake, and one for the team. Ran some good races, some good handicap hurdles last year. Was fourth in the great with off a mark of 129. Travelled into the race like he was going to win, just weakened out a bit late. Was brought down at Ascot in the Betfair Exchange trophy off a mark of 133. And shaped okay when midfield in the Betfair hurdle when he was 10th of 24. He did shape that day like he wanted to step up and trip. He now steps up and trip and goes over fences. And the fact he was so impressive when he is winning his point, he might actually improve for fences. Evan Williams in a bit of form as well. He's had a few winners already. I think a mark of 133. I'm disappointed he couldn't improve past that this season. And finally up at Kelso, an old favourite, even though he's not an old horse. In the 142, 2.5 handicap chase. Looks like Mert, my horse to follow last year. Promised so much, didn't really deliver. Did win on his season reappearance last year at Kelso over just shy of 3 miles, very impressively off a mark of 117. Fell at Newcastle when travelling like a dream, 5 out off his revised mark. Then went to Leicester, looked all over the winner, unseated a couple of fences out. Disappointed Utoxer on horrible ground, but he reappeared at Kelso over hurdles and was looked all over the winner. Done at a short price in the run, was nabbed. Prattley on the line and back over fences today over 2 miles, 5 of mark, 127. The ground's okay. I'm just hoping he can get off the mark and prove me right for once.
For a change, right? Very good. That's Saturday in a nutshell. A quick word on Sunday. We record on Thursday evening, so it's tricky with no clear declarations through yet. But a really good card at Navan. 12:30 is the for auction novice hurdle. We got our Royal Bond entries through today, and a few of these are entered there as well. Ballyadam is entered, possibly an honorary, but it's the type of race Esky Lane could rock up in for Gordon Elliott at 1 o'clock. We've also got the Lismullen hurdle, a really high quality field here, featured Ronald Pump, who ran so well in the stairs for Matt Smith last season. And we've got a couple of horses just making their return over hurdles as well. 1:35 is the Fortria. A really good field here. We've got betting here. Aplutard tops the betting at 4-11. Eclair de Beaufort is next in at 7-2. Castle Grace Paddy is 6s. Ornua 10s. 16-1. Kildare and Yaha Fizz is the outsider at 50s. And at 2:10 is the feature race of the day. It's the Troytown. Such a good handicap staying chase and has been such a good guide over the years. Of course, Chris's Dream absolutely bolted up in it last season. Aforementioned tops the betting at 7s alongside the Jam Man for that man, Ronan McNally. 10-1 Discordantly, who's a good winner in Galway the last day. Elwood is 11s. Brace Yourself, 12s. At the Acorn is also 12-1. 14-1 and Bigger the Rest. Frank, of those four races, anything standing out to you as a potential bet when declarations come through, or even in the two races that there's betting available on at the moment, anything standing out as a bet at the moment?
Look, just very quickly, I assume Ballyadam won't run in that for auction novice hurdle. In Golo, obviously, won down the stall. Escalene, I imagine, would be Gordon's runner. I wasn't too impressed with him on his hurdles debut. Look, the second for Gavin Cramer was probably useful, but at the same time, he looked workmanlike. If Jesse Evans rocked up for Noel Meade, who remains in good form, I might be interested in backing him. I've been taking how he won his bumper at the Stowell and how he won over hurdles at Gore on his hurdles debut. Might take him on. This Mullins very tricky. Look, 2.5 probably sharp enough for Ronald Pump. Obviously ran a cracker in the stairs hurdle. It's just hard to know. A lot of these are probably going to be used as a kind of a prep for bigger targets later on in the season. That's a very tricky race. Apputar will take a world of beating in the 4-3 chase. At the current sort of prices, I'd be interested in the without market, having Castle Grace Paddy. He'd be the one I'd probably back in the without or in the forecast. And in the Troy Town itself, I was very taken with Discordantly on his handicap chase debut at Galway off a mark of 132. He's up 10. I think he's got a decent chance. And the other one I liked in the race is another sort of old favourite, but again, he's only a six-year-old at the Acorn for good old Tony Martin. I love Tony. He's a brilliant trainer. It's a shame he doesn't get more horses. I think he can definitely line one up for a touch, and I wouldn't be surprised if this one went well. I thought last year in the big handicap chase at the Dublin Racing Festival, he got really badly hampered there a couple of times when he was 92 favourite, wasn't disgraced in sixth. Has had two hurdle starts already this year. I'd say they've lined him up for this, and he's a fair enough price around the 12-1 mark as well. So my two against the field in the Triton will be at the Acorn and Discordantly.
Lovely stuff. Righto, time very quickly for best bet of the weekend. Frank, what is the one to get onside at the weekend?
Sorry, I'll just win. He's not a great price, but he'll win.
Very good. So Royale for Frank Hickey on a very, very busy weekend of racing. Frank, thanks a million. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Have a good weekend, lads.
Righto, that's all we've got time for on this week's show. My thanks to Sean, Mike, and Frank, as always, for joining me. And thanks to you for listening. Make sure to check out paddypower.com for all the latest odds and offers. And subscribe to the show, for on Monday we will be joined by Mr. Peter Crouch, no less. And that's all from me. I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.
Tell me, what's Peter Crouch on for on Monday? Did you? I'm a Liverpool fan. I just love to speak to Crouch. He's a fucking legend. That's the only perks in my jaws, like. Do you know what I mean? It's cool there to give some tips. You're not allowed to talk to anyone important, Frank. Now go back into your cage. We'll let you out again next week.